Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of their cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Why is the fire so big? Why do you make the fire so big, Gus? Look at that shit. It's a motherfucking ridiculous, Gus. The fire's too motherfucking big. Why?
Because it is Saturday, November 17, 2012. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and I'm doing this show outside in front of the fire like I used to do before I even ran the switchboard. But now, you know, step my game up a little bit. It's a little something, you know? and I am... You know, running the little switchboard or whatever you want to call that with the drops and the, you know, taking calls and that type of thing off of my iPad out by the fire. So pretty cool stuff. But in the same token, I'm doing the show because I am highly unprofessional and I'm not really sure what happened on Wednesday. I was doing the show and I got to, I think, like my second break. I took the break. The song played. Everything said that I was still on air. And I came back from break and talked for another half hour, 40 minutes, and played another song. By then, my girl was telling me, no one's hearing you, and I'm like, bullshit, get away from me. The thing's saying I'm on. I could play songs. The thing on my screen says I'm on. Everything says I'm on. Like, get out of here. So I'm like, well, hopefully, and then, you know, when I finished the show, I realized that other people were telling me, too, like, I can't hear shit. And I'm like, oh, man, this is beat. So I was like, well, I hope it at least fixes on the download because I clearly talked and it, you know, it ticked down as if it was on there. Like, Blog Talk has messed up on me before, but it was kind of obvious that I was not on the air. Like, my phone was off and it just wouldn't take my calls anymore. Like, they pretty much made it pretty clear that I was not recording anymore. So I was just hoping for the best, but it did cut me off. So I figured, hey, let's do another one. I'm off on Sunday. So normally I come out here and I wild out by myself. I figured, hey, let me wild out with some other people. All right. And I don't include you guys in that. Well, there's a couple, you know, main topics that I want to hit tonight. And I plan on doing so on those. I also have to add, because I've been, you know, talking on and on about this the Sean Price album, I finally found something to convert it. So I have every track off that album loaded up on my soundboard, and I'll be playing a couple of those per show. So, like, for the next probably month or two, you're going to be hearing nothing but Sean Price as far as my breaks go, because that's my dude. He's definitely my favorite current rapper, and it has been for years, just because he's one of those dudes. And honestly, all-time favorite, I still probably got to give that to Redman, but Sean Price is a guy, you know, from Helter Skelter and all that, that he's always been just real street rapper, and he never really changed shit, you know what I mean? And, like, he does it now, and, like, you still get so many people that don't even know who this cat is, and he just has that grimy street flow, and I love it. It's exactly what I always loved about rap, and he's never stopped doing it that way. Most of the cats that you see, you know, they start out rough, and the next thing you know, they're doing some old other shit, and it's, you know, it comes with money, and I understand that, but this is a guy who's, you know, stayed street. Whether, you know, he didn't play his money right, and it wound up, you know, this way, I mean, whatever the case is, I don't know. Either way, I respect the shit out of that dude for keeping it, you know, exactly how I liked it. So, what I left off with, what I, you know, talked to myself about for a half hour in my fucking room, was the Masada shoot. And I wanted to get into the Masada shoot. So I think I'm going to start off with that, over my several topics that I have tonight. I said that all stupid. So here's what I get from the Masada shoot. Okay. You find out this shocking revelation that Masada is a badass. Now, I know, you know, anyone who's watched his various death matches where he sticks skewers in people's heads and powerbombs people on cinder blocks, you would never think he's a tough guy. But then when you actually get to see him talk to you, he tells you once again and again and again, and he lets you know, just in case you, if you never watched one of his matches before and you're like, what's this guy like? You know, I'm just going to watch an interview with some random dude. You're like, oh, wow, he'll fucking, you know, he'll beat a bunch of people up. Here's a list of the people who he mentioned that he would beat their fucking ass or would like to beat their fucking ass. Just, you know, just a little list. You know, amongst the couple hours shoot, Jimmy Rave, Alex Shelley, Conan, Mike Sanders, who he called a WCW power plant fucking pussy motherfucker. Danny Daniels, who he called a Yertle the Turtle-looking motherfucker. The Necro Butcher, Scotty Vortex, and I'll get back to that in a second. Zandig, he also mentioned that he would beat the shit out of the fans if need be. If they want to talk shit, he could beat the fuck out of them. Just in general, just the fans. He's not talking about a specific fan. He's just saying all of you motherfuckers. Like, if you'll jump the guardrail, it's over. So, you know, that type of thing. Jimmy Havoc, Ryuti Ito, Tosaka, who's the BJW owner, Ego, otherwise known as Egotistico Fantastico, Robert Anthony, and Mike Quackenbush. So that's just, you know, he's normally, to me, it's funny, because I'm trying to find the exact right way but to say it, but, well, I mean, one thing I got off of this is, like, he comes off like a death metal Iron Sheik. Like, he'll, you know, start, you know, the same way, I love you, you are the best, but you know I'll beat the fuck out of you. And then he kind of starts that same way, where he's just like, you know, he's a really nice guy, I like him as a person, but I'll beat the fucking shit out of that guy, dude, I'll fucking kill him. Like, so anyway, Scotty Vortex is one of those guys where he goes, and he clearly does not like Scotty for shit, but, you know, he likes to preface things with, yeah, I like the guy as a person, but his overall thing was, I like Scotty as a person, but one of his in-ring quotes is, I'm from the streets, bitch. What street? Sesame Street? I'll beat you with fucking Big Bird wrapped in barbed wire, you fucking pussy faggot, or some shit he called him. I'm like, wow, that's something. That doesn't sound like someone I like as a person if I say some shit like that. One of the funniest quotes he said on the whole fucking thing, but still, it was just like, Well, there you go. The interview was conducted by this fucking busted condom, Brett Lauderdale. And, you know, I mean, this little walking fetus, you know, he just asks him, like, ridiculous questions. And he tries to lead him into, like, hating on people that Masada knows who he hates. He doesn't need to be led there. He pretty much goes there without you going anywhere near it. And he tried to lead him towards, you know, hating on Ian, and he didn't have any bad problems with Ian. He knows, you know, everybody knows what Ian's about and all that stuff, and that's fine. But he didn't have any bad experiences with Ian, so he was like, you know, fucking whatever. No, I don't have that. He tried to steer him into hating on Billy Graham. Dude didn't have any problems with Billy Graham. So, you know, there was no nothing there. And who else did he try to... some other shit too. Like he just steered him in all sorts of directions, or he tried to, and you know, it was kind of fucking crazy. A couple of things are weird. I mean, I guess there's certain things that become taboo, but it's crazy amongst the shoot that you hear so many, you know, fucking kill this guy and fuck that faggot and, you know, beat this fucking guy wrapped in barbed wire and fucking, but there's a bunch of times where he talks about the weight loss and the weight gain and all this stuff, and I was eating a lot, and then I wasn't eating a lot, and so I dropped weight and this and that. But, like, in the AWI shoot, or AIW shoot, I should say, you know, he talked pretty openly about, yeah, I was on roids at this point, so I was big. But then I was off the roids and I wasn't big. So it was like, I guess he just laid off of that topic, whether it was Smart Mark or whether it was himself that just decided he didn't want to bring that up anymore. And, you know, and I'm only saying it because of something that he brought up in the past, and, like, no one even, again, like, Masada says a lot of things that nobody even asked him about. And he's just like, fucking, yeah, so I was on roids anyway. So what about it? And he does that type of thing. And it's like, well, okay, whatever. But then the next shoot, it's like, well, I wasn't eating as much, so I lost weight. Like, dude, you told us before that you were, okay, whatever. So I thought that was really interesting to a certain extent. You know, I'm not, like, amazed by it, but, you know, things happen. Another thing I thought was really entertaining was his thoughts on $5 wrestling, because he hates it, completely hates it. Like, he said it's fucked up that they're making a joke out of people who are mentally handicapped, which, shit, I agree with. Like, you go from a guy who just randomly wants to beat people up because he doesn't fucking like them, or he thinks they're shit in the ring, to a guy who's like, dude, you don't make fun of retards. That's fucked up. And he's like, how about I hit you in the fucking head with a bat and make you fucking retarded and see how funny it is? Like, he was dead serious about that fucking Fed. He didn't like that shit at all. And, dude, I can't blame him, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're making a joke out of these people's, you know, handicap. And, you know, and he said there's actually a company in Japan called Dog Leg Wrestling, which, strange name, seeing as he said they take, you know, mentally challenged people, and they actually completely take them seriously. Like, it's their own Fed, and they try to train them to the best of their ability and really, like give them credit for what they're doing and, you know, raise their confidence and actually treat it with respect. So he was really pretty big on that. Just like, fuck that shit. That's not cool with me. And how about I make you retarded and see how funny it is? The idea of that is funny to me. Let me get back to this in a minute. I'm going to take this call.
Hello?
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Quinn.
Ah, cool, Quinn. For those who don't know Quinn, he's a regular listener of Wrestling Soup. You know, I've been friends with him on Facebook for a while. He's a good dude. So what's up, man?
Well, feeling pretty shitty, to be honest with you. Ugh. Terrible, terrible decision.
Why is that, Quinn?
Well, you see, my cousins were over at my house, and we were all just hanging out being retarded. And, you know, I'm sure that's not the proper word to use for it, but we were just being idiots. And, well, one of my cousins said, hey, I'll give you $50 to eat 40 chicken McNuggets and drink this liter of Mountain Dew, which I proceeded to then do.
Wow.
And I feel like shit, to be honest with you.
Wow. That's got to be definitely the higher rank of nugget. I mean, Joey Numbers, the wrestling soup, invented the term nugget. and you more or less binge eat chicken nuggets until you feel like shit. But you have to take a picture before and after. And Quinn did that on a set of 40 nugs. So that's quite a task. And $50, not just for the sake of doing it.
I'd say a rack of 40 is terrible. I mean, if you want to go see the picture, it's on my Twitter. It's at actually, no, it sounds like a plug, but it's on the Wrestling Kid Facebook page. If you are on there, if not, you can go to my Twitter. That's at Quinn Kendall. Q as in John Cena.
U as in John Cena.
That's funny. Anyways, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Yeah, just you know, figure I'd throw an extra show because I don't know what the fuck happened on Wednesday. So you know.
Nah, fuck it. Do you ever play any video games at all?
A little bit. Man, I've gotten so lazy with video games lately. But I'm a Madden guy. I do the Madden thing.
I like the NCAA, all the 2Ks.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I'm just not that big of a college football fan.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough. I just picked up Halo 4 not just 2 days ago.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's an interesting game.
I was never a huge shooter fan. I just wasn't good at them. Anytime I touched them, I was horrible at it. So, and then years ago, people got me into the Call of Duty thing, and I went through at least three of them, enjoying the shit out of them, playing just mostly online. But then people just get too good, and then it's like, well, you have to suck for 3 months while they blow you up because they don't have jobs, and then eventually you can kind of hang with them.
Right. And I mean, that's logical.
Yeah, and I just got tired. I don't like losing. So I, like, hey, I've been at work for 9 hours. Let me come home and just get fucking shit-canned by a bunch of guys. Like, how about not? So.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you go to work all day and then come home and there's this nice young man who hasn't left his room for days just wrecking you and making fun of you in a really high-pitched voice. That's what you need after a long day at work.
Yeah, 12-year-olds in the summertime that learned all sorts of curse words while I was at work. But I like fighting games too. Like I'm huge on like Soul Calibur, Tekken, those type of things. You know, like those.
How fighting games?
You're not big on them, or?
No, I am.
You like them?
I mean, yeah. It's. I guess it depends. I. Great fight form too. Just like the physical, like the physical arcade machine of Street Fighter.
Yeah,
I think that's always kind of fun.
Yeah, Street Fighter's pretty cool. I've never been that great at Street Fighter. I always enjoyed it, but I've never been the best at it. I like Mortal Kombat too. Something about Street Fighter is too many circles. People that are good at it just fuck me up. Like it's just, I don't know.
So
I like
how do
you know. Yeah, like the button combos are pretty good, you know, as far as the, you know, the Tekkens and the Soul Calibers, but there's a lot of circles in Street Fighter.
For sure. All right, man, well, I will leave this show because I have to go take a massive shit after 40 Chicken McNuggets.
Brutal.
But, all right, maybe I'll post my face after that.
All right.
Anyway, man, thanks for letting me call in and fuck up.
Not a problem.
10 minutes
anytime.
To your show. And I'll keep listening, man.
Yeah, not a problem, man. All right, talk to you later, man. All right, that was Quinn. Now he's got some stuff to deal with that doesn't, you know. So anyway, back to the Masada shoot. Another thing that was pretty crazy. I mean, dude, I really can't express my hatred for Brett Lauderdale enough. Like, I just think he's fucking deplorable as a person. And when they got down to the Nick Gage thing, this is like Brett Lauderdale's platform, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute, but Masada takes a really interesting standpoint on the Nick Gage situation. He seems to think that, well, I don't see why Gage is locked up, because he needed money, so what the fuck do you want him to do? Well, what do you expect him to do? And I'm like, well, anything but rob a fucking bank. I mean, it just, I know I'm talking crazy on my end now, but that probably not that. Like, oh, he needed money, so what do you expect him to do? How about just not walk into a fucking bank and demand money? That's generally like what you can't do. Like I was saying, this is not the Wild West. You can't just like Billy the Kid it up in there. And not only that, Jesus Christ, Nick Gage didn't even wear a bandana on his face for a guy who's used to fucking wearing a bandana on his face at a goddamn ring. You know, I mean, it's just, there was nothing smart about that. And to, you know, take a standpoint that like, well, fuck it. And then I'm like, oh, he must be one of those, like, the banks don't mean shit guys. And, like, 30 seconds later, he's like, because I don't give a fuck about banks, so who fucking cares? And I'm like, there you go. Fucking, but seriously, you cannot have the mentality that that was just okay, so they should just let him out because, well, shit, you need money. Well, shit, I'm sure you need money, too. Like, Masada was talking about some shit happened where DJ fucked him over for a Japan tour for Freedoms or something like that and told him that he couldn't do it and he couldn't have him over or whatever the case was. And, well, he could have just fixed that problem and went to the bank. Like, what do you mean he just needed money and what is he going to do? That's fucking insane. I don't see that as a logical standpoint. I don't see that as anything that anybody with a good head on their shoulder should do. Obviously, Nick Gage had problems. So that's the underlying, topic to any Nick Gage discussion is Nick had problems, man. Nick needed help. The fact that he brought it to that level where he just walked into a bank in broad daylight for a couple $100, that's fucking terrible, man. And I can only hope that that guy gets right in the joint. Now, my problem here is the fucking Brett Lauderdales, because Brett's a guy who is just ear to ear smiling off of Masada saying what he's saying because he believes that. Now, Brett is a guy who walks around with free Nick Gage pins and free Nick Gage shirts and shit like that. And from what I hear, I think Sanjay originally did the shirts, but you know, I think it was more of a friendly gesture. I think if you got down to actual speaking to Sanjay, I don't think he wants him released from jail. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, anyone who honestly, and I'll say this with no fucking worries. Sorry. I'll say this with no worries. Anyone who thinks that Nick Gage should just be let out of jail for robbing a bank is a fucking idiot. I mean, honestly, I think he had a problem. I wish that would have never happened. But I don't think you can say, hey, he was a good dude, let him out of jail. No, he robbed a bank, dude. That's what happens when you rob a bank. I mean, it's fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, no amount of me enjoying him as a wrestler goes, all right, well, he gets one bank robbery for all the entertainment he gave me. No, you're fucked, dude. And that sucks because you were such a good dude. You were such a great talent, such a great entertainer, but you robbed a fucking bank, dude. You're fucking beat. That's what happens. That's exact life. you can't do shit like that. So, I mean, the notion of running around with the pins is one thing, you know? And again, like you could do it as a friendly gesture to just be like, hey, man, I miss that guy. You know what I mean? Like not legitimately let him out of jail. But I've also heard, and I have, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go into the sources or anything like that, but people within the locker room that have told me straight up that Brett Lauderdale walked around like he fucking won the Super Bowl telling people that when Nick robbed that fucking bank, him and Nick went to AC and spent that fucking money. So he's proud of the fact that him and his friend went to Atlantic City and spent fucking bank robbery money. And this is what he thinks is cool, and he's just part of it. This is all, Brett just wants to be part of shit. He's not up for anybody's fucking well-being. And this is why I worry about Nick, because if he gets out, and Brett is one of those dudes that has visited him on a regular basis. Like, I don't think that there's anybody who visits Nick Gage more than Brett Lauderdale. And I'll say that any day of the week, he visits the fuck out of him. Okay? And that's all well and good. But with the mentality of, oh, that was super cool when we went to AC with that fucking bank robbery money. I mean, dude, this is not the type of people that Nick needs around him. He needs to get his shit right. Nick Gage is talented. Brett Lauderdale's a fucking a botched abortion. There's no fucking way that a guy like fucking Gage needs to get his head pumped up with fucking, yeah, dude, fuck those cops. Like, nah, man, yeah, I'm not a fan of the cops, but if you get yourself in that type of thing, then that's fucking insane, and there needs to be something done with your life, and you need to be doing it. But if you got this little fucking retard running around you going, fucking, that was really cool, fucking shit, I'm glad you're back, let's smoke some weed and take some fucking pills and shit, man, I got some pills for you when you get out, like, fucking bullshit, fuck that kid, you know? And that's the type of kid, he was a drug buddy, a taxi, a motherfucking place to sleep. That's what fucking Brett Lauderdale was, and it becomes a real easy friendship because that's what you're into. Getting places, doing drugs, and crashing. And that's, you know what I mean? That's the type of scumbag that doesn't need to be around people who need who have problems, who need help. And the only thing I hope is when Gage gets out is that he flies straight. Whether he ever wrestles again, I just hope he has a good life and just decides to do the right thing and, you know, straighten his life out. Because obviously there's some shit broken there. I mean, fuck, man. You got guys like Masada just going, fuck, he needed money. What the fuck you want him to do? Shit. Well, I just, it boggles my mind to hear that. It's crazy. And as far as, like, the drug policy and shit like that, you know, the little retard asked him about that, about the what do they call that? The wellness policy in CCW. And he said, yeah, well, this and that. And Masada said, that's the first I've heard of that. He's like, the only thing DJ's ever said to us is don't get fucked up before the show. I don't care what you do otherwise. So, well, that's clearly not the wellness policy that DJ's put out there that he does. Yeah, I mean, but I don't understand, like a bunch of this shit with Lauderdale. I just don't understand why the dude still has a job. Like, he shits on DJ on camera. He shits on all sorts of, like, just he tries to make himself something. And he's not, there's so many refs out there that you can get. He's fucking horrible. His facial expressions during matches, his fucking timing, everything is horrible about this dude. It's not even close to a judgment call on whether we should get rid of him. He's got to have some old bullshit because he's a politician. He's always got some shit on somebody because he's a little fucking weasel. So that's just my opinion on that. I'm not going to turn this into a Brett Lauderdale show because fuck that dude. But, the Masada shoot. Yeah. It's highly, highly entertaining. He shits on a lot of things. He said classically that, you know, DJ, you know, he doesn't need to be stealing fucking people's spotlights. Like when he came out there and chokeslammed Mia Yim after that Greg Excellent Mia Yim match, there was no reason for that. That's bullshit. He fucking hated that. There was a lot of stuff there. He was definitely just very outspoken on stuff. And, definitely an entertaining shoot to watch at the very least. So let me go here. I would definitely check that out. Smart Mark video. You know what I mean? Do the thing with that Masada shoot. It's like Best of Masada. So check that out. I want to get that match that he was talking about that he split Necro. I forget. I got bad memory, so even watching the shit and then trying to remember now what match he said it happened in, I got to go back and see what it was and try to track that down, because that was something I'd like to see, you know. Let me see. I'm trying to find a track. I got all these tracks off this album. I'm trying to get one so I can play one. We all and Jesus. I'll come back and I'll hit another topic. And next one's a fun topic, too. All right, let's go with this one, The Barbarian.
Listen, Hey yo, I don't want the Dougie, I just want money. Study under the understudy, the 120. Young dummy, can't spar. No life, my flow tight, like your pants on. You don't got a chance, pa. Hands on community. Malachi York, freaking see your fucking eulogy. Rough jewelry. What jewelry? I took this from another rapper, slapped him with the jewelry G. Cornwall rappers, I see him on BET, relieved of the jewelry, interview beef DVD, PTNT, the flow dynamite. Niggas so-so, bozos ain't rhyming right. I hit the line of white, I smoke a double green. Niggas call it purple, what the fuck you mean? Fuck a fist fight, I'm gunning you rappers. I don't give a fuck about none of y'all rappers. Pips play shit, the pips stay lit. My bitch stay dipped with the Richard Bay tits. Niggas say shit, shit, they sing it ain't shit. Shut the fuck up, nigga, I'm nothing to play with. I bust heated at your whole damn click blow. Sean Price, the leader of boot camp, click down. Admire the admiral, animal rap. Smack the shit out of a nigga ahead of his hat. Banging on wax, niggas don't bang in the street. Banging online, niggas don't beg in the street, playing for keeps, keep playing. I slam your ass on your face till your fucking teeth breaking. Big, the jerk been retired, I'm nice, so I'm back, nigga. Smack, earth, wind, fire, and ice out that nigga. Rap nigga, I doubt if there's nigga doing it like me, fuck out of here. Big.
There you go. So there's a little taste of what goes on there. So my next topic for my next trick, I wanna put y'all on to some shit that goes on with Frank Goodman, aka the Mass Maniac. I listened to his shit this past week, just probably last night type shit. And this is one of the most ignorant motherfuckers I ever heard. And I want everybody to actually, like, in case y'all don't listen to what the fuck he be saying, I want other people to hear that shit. And this is why I'm playing what I'm playing, and I'm, you know, going to say what I'm going to say, because this motherfucker is, it's one of those things, like, I listen to it for more or less, like, the kind of train wreck effect. Because you're just like, how stupid could this motherfucker get? You know what I mean? Like, this is just like his MO, but he really fucking blew my mind this week. So I finally got around to clipping some stuff. And I only clipped from this week. I know I've been saying that I was going to clip from shows from the past and really put something together, but all I did was clip a couple joints from this week. And I think they're pretty telling. And so let me first, in case y'all don't know how he introduces himself. Now, this is after an intro that he plays where he talks a bunch of shit, you know, like clip intro, like I got mine. And then he plays Big Daddy Cool. And then this is how he starts the show, just like I, you know, welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host. Blah, blah, blah. This is his go on the intro. This is how he normally does.
I am your jacked up genetic freak. You are. That's right. I'm pointing right between the beady eyes of every single anti-American who voted for Barack. Oh, what a name. Obama. You're a mythological cult hero. The guru of maniacism. The man with the 21 and a half inch arms. The 63 and three-quarter inch chest, the real big neck, and the phenomenally long and extremely potent penis. I am the Mass Maniac. This is the Mass Maniac internet webcast show thingy, along with my co-host, as always, and producer and director, Anthony Don Tony Funker, delusional De Blasi.
Okay, so that's that. Now, first off, I've always had an issue with the way that he treats Don Tony for the fact that, listen, I don't agree with everything that Don Tony says. I honestly disagree with a lot of what Don Tony says. But the fact of the matter is Frank Goodman would never run a show if it wasn't for Anthony de Blasi. De Blasi is the one doing all the running of the show. Frank Goodman won't even give the respect to the show to even do, like, his own show to even, like, get a decent cell phone or a decent connection or run it off a landline and talk on a landline for an hour. Nothing. Like, that's the production you get out of him, okay, number one. Number two, this is a guy who introduces himself to an audience of males and a co-host who's a dude, as a dude with a potent penis, and starts reading off his fucking measurements of his arms and neck and fucking back and all this old bullshit. And to me, that's always been just so pro-homo, it's ridiculous. It's just like, I don't understand where you would get the mentality to put yourself out there like that. But so whatever, it is what it is. It's what you expect out of this dude, okay? Well, now I'm going to play you a long one. This is his opinion on Hurricane Sandy and Obama. So I want to play this for you because this shit is just mind-blowing.
Now, here's my thing. Now, we'll go right to Obama right away, okay?
I know. Right.
You know, I hear all this stuff. I'm not hearing anything about why. I mean, look, this is 2012. This is not 1920. This is not 1820. This is not 1776. How are we the strongest country in the world? Forget that this happened. You cannot stop Mother Nature, can you?
No.
But you shouldn't have been without electricity for one day. One day, right or wrong?
I agree. 100%.
If you are the president, and I got to tell you, I don't want to hear all the black people and all the minorities coming on here and saying, well, it would have been the same thing for George Bush. I don't think so. I don't want to hear, well, if it was a white president, it'd be the same thing. This is a piece of shit. If I'm the president and this happens, I immediately say, you know what? Fuck the election. Fuck everything. Everything that we have right now goes into New York and New Jersey, and that's it, and case is closed. And that's it. And with the technology that we have, this is disgusting what's going on. It's disgusting.
Maniac, let me say something. You know, I know the people that were affected by Katrina really got hurt, and I feel bad for them, but the thing that pisses me off was that I looked at my footage from, you know, I have a lot of archive TV, and I looked at the footage when Katrina was being covered. They had tent cities. They had, you know, like debit cards they gave out. They had all this stuff, and it was the biggest news story almost 24 hours a day on almost every local news, local and regular cable news networks for weeks. This, it was the major news story for maybe a day or two. Then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, a half an hour in a two-hour news show, 10 minutes, no debit cards, no tent cities. And I honestly believe that because Katrina was labeled as, you know, a lot of underprivileged people,
a lot
of minorities.
I'll even show you another similar circumstance, okay, which takes it a little bit off what just happened to you and so many others, but Zimmerman kills a black kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
A black kid, mind you, with a criminal record, and every single minority leader, Reverend Al, Jesse Jackson, Reggie Jackson, everybody, it's all you hear about. Even today it was in the paper, wasn't it?
Yes.
But what happens when a young white girl gets brutally beaten for her bicycle, right?
Yeah.
And they catch them, and you hear nothing. Nothing at all, right or wrong?
you're right. And I'm sad to say this, but two things. Number one, for anybody of color that doesn't like what I said about Katrina.
So, yeah. Now, let me, before I say what I got to say, let me say this. Don Tony, Anthony de Blasio, he's very upset. I don't feel that he's a completely non-racist person himself. I know he's anti-Obama as well. But this dude suffered severe loss. This dude, you know, my thoughts go out to the dude straight up, whether I agree with him or not, because, like, his parents' house and his, you know, whatever it is, beach house type shit, was completely leveled, like, fucking leveled, like, some of the worst damage you've seen. And I'm over here on the Jersey Shore, and people know what I've dealt with because I covered it in the past. So I'm not really faulting him for his opinions because he's sitting in devastation. He hasn't even done his own show. The first time you've heard him is on that Mass Maniac show. And Mass Maniac is just acting like a douchebag because he's a douchebag. Okay, so now first off, this fucking guy has the opinion that the president is an asshole because the power shouldn't have even been off for one day. Does he understand fucking anything? Like, the fact that there's trees laying on power lines miles and miles, all over a fucking state, like, all over the East Coast, there's trees knocking fucking trees into houses, into power lines, into all these different things. To think that you can blame the president that he should have just had it up and running in a day? Oh, he should have, within 24 hours, supplied everyone with generators and had their power back on? Dude, are you fucking retarded? Like, what's going on? That shit doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's some of that blatant fucking racism bullshit. You're like, oh, tragedy. Oh, what now? And then to compare it to Katrina, like fucking Bush did the right thing, there's still parts of that fucking state that's still fucked. They're still fucked over there. How can you dare say that, oh, George Bush would have handled that better? What do you mean? Dude, I mean, there's recovery efforts going on all over the place over here. And again, my respect goes to, you know, Don Tony on what he's going through. But there's tons of efforts being made. To say that there's no efforts being made, bullshit. I'm on the fucking East Coast. Not only am I on the East Coast, I work at an animal shelter. In 11 years of me working there, I've never seen the donations that we've gotten coming in. We have fucking animal food stacked to the roof to help people who are displaced or, you know, who need help with their animals or who need help with food and stuff like that. We got food stacked to the fucking roof. Hit me up privately if anyone over here on the East Coast does need help, because believe me, we could fucking help you as far as animal stuff goes. But this is the bullshit. This is the bullshit that gets spun by these fucking up in their head fucking Republican assholes that have no fucking agenda to even speak truth. It's just fucking, you know, what the fuck can I say? What can I say to fucking, you know, shit on these people? I don't like them, so I'm going to talk about them. Well, that's bullshit. That's not accurate. That's not actual facts. That's bullshit. And then, you know, then he got on the Trayvon Martin shit out of fucking nowhere. Really? Nothing was said about the girl that got killed in Jersey? That was fucking the front of my fucking news every single day, because that was a terrible fucking thing that went on with that little girl. But no, fucking, you stick up for the white guy that killed fucking Trayvon because he had a criminal record. It's like, Jesus Christ, wow. So random white people can go kill black people with criminal records even when they're not doing something criminal. And that's just okay to that dude. I mean, that's crazy. That's a crazy line of thinking. Tragedies happen all over the place. You can't treat things one way and then flip and treat it the other way. It's just a randomly really delusional way of thinking. And it's funny how he starts off the show calling his co-host delusional, because this is the epitome of what this fucking guy is, dude. This is why I say, like, even DJ Hyde gets a million bits more respect from me. And dude, I always have shit to talk about DJ, and he will be on within the next couple of weeks, providing he is on within enough couple of weeks, because that's kind of on him. But as far as I go, I'm definitely going to try to book him within the next couple of weeks. So it'll be entertaining. But this guy is just such a shitbag of a human being. I'm talking Frank Goodman, that he doesn't get it. Like, he's a fucking racist. There's no maybe about it. And the next clip I'm playing, if you can actually listen to that shit and tell me he's not, then again, I think you're retarded. I mean, get in the retard line over there, because this shit is fucking crazy. And I don't understand the whole logic of Obama this, Obama that, Obama blah, blah, blah. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that? Why isn't he? What the fuck, dude? Bush was retarded for 8 years. Now all of a sudden we're holding him up like a champion that fucking got people through disasters. I don't fucking think that was his gimmick. I don't think that's what that was. You know, Bush didn't do nothing like that. So now it's like, oh, you're fucking. If this was Bush, he would have misspoke the fucking the Jersey Shore, but called it like the Germany Shore or some shit, like over there in fucking the Georgia Shore, motherfucker. You know, I mean, he would have fucked shit up too. I mean, what do you mean, man? And Obama didn't fuck shit up, dude. I mean, again, there were severe amounts of fucking trees on lines and generators blown up. How much can, and there were people from all over the country, like power companies from all over the country coming to New Jersey. I know that for sure, because I've seen fucking Ohio plates out here fixing shit. So there was no aid. There's no help. Nah, man, you're being a dick. And it's fucked up, because half of the people that are talking that shit aren't even in this fucking area. So people are doing shit the best they can. It's a terrible tragedy, a bunch of stuff that happened, but to just blame the president and be like, no one cares. Oh, yeah, George Bush cared. Like, you're really acting stupid right now, and I have no tolerance for it. But so here goes the dude's opinion on Michelle Obama. Check this out.
Do you find Michelle Obama attractive?
Do I find who?
Michelle Obama attractive.
No. You know, it's a shame that you can't say somebody looks like a monkey without it being a racial thing. You know, I think she looks like Zira from Planet of the Apes. You know, I don't find that to be it's not a racist thing. I mean, I've heard that's what she looks like. If I saw a white woman that looked like that, I'd say it. Okay, she looks like Zira from Planet of the Apes. What do you want me to say? You know, I don't think she's attractive. You know?
So, yeah, to him, it's not racist, and it's a shame that you can't call black people monkeys. That's his opinion. Dude, please don't respect this motherfucking guy. People, if you listen to me and you fucking ever work his fucking shows, pull off those fucking shows. Don't let him make a fucking dime off of fucking wrestling, because he doesn't give a shit about wrestlers. He doesn't give a shit about the business. He gives a shit about his pockets. And you can see this through the way that he handles things and he talks about people and he just acts as a person. It's bullshit. And as far as indie workers, I'm going to play one more clip, and this is the least shocking or the least groundbreaking of all the clips. But it's just how he feels on the WWE product and who he feels is an asset. And you should see that this is kind of like his mind for the business is this.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad. And I'll tell you, a lot of the smart marks, the Ring of Honor fans out there won't like it. I'm okay with CM Punk. I don't think it's him. And Daniel Bryan is, you know, he does some funny things here and there. I think a lot of this has to do with them thinking that the Ring of Honor type guys are Money in the Bank. Don't you?
Yeah.
It's really not. I mean, like I've said for years, larger-than-life characters are the ones that do it. You know, if the Big Show didn't always go back to being a goof, or Kane. Kane put the mask on, came back, he was great for a month, right? Now they go back to Kane being a goofy idiot. That's good. That's what people want, right? Come on.
All right, so according to him, you know, CM Punk, he's okay with him, and Daniel Bryan does some funny stuff. But as far as what actually draws on the WWE, is the Big Show, is Kane when they play him as a monster. And, like, that's what's up. And now all these Ring of Honor style guys, these actual, well, I'd call them actual wrestlers, they're fucking shit up. They're the wrong direction. And WWE's, you know, just, they're overdoing that. Like, dude, like, I can't respect his mind. I can't, like, from his, you know, the way he feels about people racially, to the way that he feels about shit, you know, politically, to the way that he feels about shit about wrestling. And he's supposed to be the fucking, according to him, the best indie promoter of all time. Like, well, dude, I think you're a fucking asshole. And I personally, listening to you, I really don't get, like, the opinion that you know shit about the indies or about wrestling. Because, like, every time you listen to his shit and you're like, what should this company do? It's like, bring back Hogan again. Bring back fucking such and such. Stone Cold needs to come back and fix everything. Dude, really, if Stone Cold came back, that would get a huge pop. It would get over. It would draw. Okay, his reconstructed and reconstructed and re-reconstructed knees are going to last how much longer, and neck and everything else are going to last how much longer? You're really saying that there's nothing in the company that's going to do anything. None of this young talent is going to do anything. Keep rehashing old people because they're the only thing that draws. So you're still fucking whittling away at that same old talent. That's the way he feels. It's just like, nobody's worth shit. Nobody upcoming is worth shit. Punk, everything he did in the company, yeah, he's fine. But anyway, Stone Cold needs to come back and fix the company. You know, and that's his thing. He just needs big fucking, you know, old dudes. That's his whole thing. He's not down with these fucking young dudes. They're not good enough to him. They're not larger than life characters. But, like, it's fucking unbelievable to me. Like, he's just this dude that he never progresses. He doesn't learn. He doesn't, like, there's nothing that gets advanced about that guy. Like, you can ask him 10 years ago and you could ask him now. And he's like, I still want for fucking Steve Austin in there. And she's like, just, all right then, buddy. Well, anyway, so yeah, I'm going to get off this. Now I'll be sure to clip some more Frank Goodman stuff in the future, because his ignorance has no boundaries. I'm going to play another track, come back, and, you know, just quickly review the results of the CZW show that I didn't get to watch, but, you know, I could review the results, give my opinion on what I see the results as and what they have planned and, you know, that type of stuff. So another show on Peace, Pyrex.
I'm out here. Probably think I'm baking cake when I'm working the whip. You probably think it's Pyrex.
Whole lot of shots followed after I bust your snot box with this rock bottle. Shoot the fair one, mono with mono the clown. I pull a pound on the round of McDonald. You a happy meal nigga with a toy in the box. I clap the steel nigga, put your boy in the box. P. And the gun that slap you, I'm lying just like the rest of these dumbass rappers. The bomb flesh. Most of y'all niggas can't test besides tech. Most of y'all niggas can't dress like the law. Right on the floor, cop 20 pair with Vinny one time on tour. Listen, love is love, clap together, y'all haters. The CEO of your label is a basketball player. That mean your shit is never coming out. Sean Price, I'm forever dumbing out. Pirate, pirate.
Look,
wake up on that crack in the street talk. It's made up like Jack and the Beanstalk. But when I talk, the streets listen. But you talk, the streets dissing. I don't even like you. I don't even want to fight you. This stay the fuck away from such and such, from such and such, come buck and spray. Don't make me abuse my power. When telephone call, shoot this coward. I was a bum, but the pendulum switch. Now my whole team's supreme, no Kenneth McGriff. Y'all niggas is fiends, steam tilapia. Fing rings in the bing, slapping ya. Animal, different beast from a fucking sweater. The randomal, half monkey, half man, the mandible. Heat miser in the sky, surprise, beat fire. Sparks fly out your face and break wire.
Pyrex, microwave in the west. You probably think I'm baking cake when I'm working the whip. You probably think it's Pyrex, 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 Pyrex,
Pyrex. Yeah, son. So what it is, anyone wants to call in, talk some shit, 347-215-8300, coming at you. Every once in a while you get that radio bug, you just want to talk like a douchebag. Yeah, I put it on the Facebook, whatever. I know I generally don't get that many callers. I wish that would change. I know I go on a lot of rants, which might not allow me many, many callers, so I think there's going to be like a quick... If I push this too hard, eventually I'm going to get so many callers, and then I'm only going to get the five of them. The rest of them are going to hate me for life. I'm going to lose half my fucking listeners. But I would like to hear from all of you. I really would. Just, you know, random shit talking, whatever you got. You know what I mean? Let me see what the fuck I got. Okay. Yeah, Nina's saying she hears me, but no chat. I don't give a fuck about the chat as long as motherfuckers hear me right now. I'm sorry. Anyone who would like to chat. If you'd like to chat, call in 347-215-8300. All right. That's what it is. So I do want to go into the CZW, John. Here's my thing, man. I got issues with this. I just do, like, all right, let me pull the results up. The thing is, see, CZW is always has like a very, very special place in my heart. You know what I mean? No homo. But the thing is their WrestleMania is Cage of Death, December. So when you talk about November, which was labeled Night of Infamy, which to me was always a bad idea to me, like from the very start was a ridiculously bad idea because they did their first Night of Infamy and it was Zandig versus Wife Beater retirement match. Like, dude needed to talk Wife Beater into making that fucking retirement match at Cage of Death. Like, honestly, it was 1 month away. I know they tried to do the retirement match in October in Delaware. And then it drew like shit. I was there for both of them, both of their quote unquote retirement matches. And I mean the one in Delaware was fucking nutty, but the one in fucking Philly, holy fuck, dude! Like, definitely one of the most underrated death matches in CZW history because. When you hear, like best death match, and you don't hear that come up enough. And they did so fucking much that it was just like, oh, shit. And, you know, that's what started it. But you don't do, like, a big, big show. You don't set, like, a big standard show before, like, the month before your WrestleMania. So, to me, from the start, it was a bad idea. Like, if you do... when like four really big shows a year, just say, well, you got your best of the best. You got the Tournament of Death. I know they made Tangle Web a big deal. And then you got your Cage of Death. So you got your four shows there. Now, I guess if you pepper that other, you know, Night of Infamy in there somewhere, and then your, Area Assault in there somewhere too. Well then, okay, good. I mean, you have 6 out of 12 shows are actually pretty big shows, so you can do that. But they need to not be directly next to one of these other shows. I mean, I know that's hard to do. I mean, there's got to be ways to make it work, but I would do nothing but a build show before Cage of Death. That only builds up the angles. And this is my problem with this card is because nothing that happened, well, I don't want to say completely nothing, But the majority of what happened on this show that just passed builds anything towards the Cage of Death. Right now, what they have listed for Cage of Death is, now first off, the Night of Infamy banner just had DJ with Night of Infamy written around it and him looking all stupid. Like, he wasn't even booked on the card, and the banner is DJ. So what the fuck does that mean? Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand why the fuck you need to be the face of something you're not even fucking booked on. Like, the main event was Masada Davey Richards. Nope. DJ on the poster. The fucking Briscoes versus Ohio's for Killers, the Chris Brothers. Nope. DJ on the poster. Like, what the fuck is going on? You know? I don't know. I don't know. So here's what happened. They started out the show, and they did something with, you know, Tremont and the fucking crowd and this and that. And well, let me preface this, man. Yo, fuck that. Because I love Matt Tremont. I think he's a great dude. I really think he's such a humble, fantastic dude outside of the ring and such a hardworking fucking asset to the business and any company he works in the ring. But I started talking shit about this angle a while ago. And I gotta be honest, like, Matt straight up hit me up, like, on some private shit. Because I started saying some shit online. And he told me, dude, you're making it hard. You're making it hard for us. Because when he got, quote-unquote, fired, and it was, like, not tremendously long after, but still. And I was just, like, calling it a work and shit. Like, it was funny because fucking Hellware Assassin, fucking D-Good, he's over there fucking pitching this whole, like, yeah, let's take over the wrestling business. Me and you will be, like, fucking, if you hire all of us, then fucking, yeah, then Tremont will come back, and, like, you're going to hire all of us, or we're going to fuck you up. And, like, I'm just like, dude, these people are fucking crazy. Like, dude, yeah, I like Hellware and all that, but, like, he's out of his goddamn mind. And, so, like, he's doing this whole shit, and eventually I just, like, dude, you know it's a work, right? And, like, the next thing you know, fucking Tremont's IMing me. Dude, what's up, dude? And I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, how you doing? I'm like, cool, man. Like, what's going on, man? You hit me up for a reason. What's popping? And he's like, dude, can you not, like, say stuff like that? Like, you're making it hard for us. And I'm like, I'm making it hard. What do you mean? Like, does anybody out there? And the only reason I'm putting this out there, because honestly, like, I've heard a million things from all sorts of wrestlers that I know personally and stuff like that. And like I said, Matt's a great dude, so I'm not just trying to put him on blast. But when it comes to something like this, like, dude, like, you don't hit me up on a regular, and you don't have to. Like, you know, you're an entertainer, but you're seriously sold on the fact that, like, I'm letting the cat out of the bag that you weren't really fired? No one believes that shit. No one ever believed that shit. Dude, they don't have fucking faces in that company. And then people really, like, what, fucking 15-year-olds and fucking Hellware Assassin believed that you were fucking fired? Dude, stop. Dude, cut. Why? Who's buying into fucking DJ's angle so heavy? They were like, everyone in the world believes this. We're pulling the wool over their eyes. Like, stop, dude. You're talking to adults. You know, and I just try to put across to him, like, dude, believe me, I'm not spoiling anything for anybody. Like, I run a non-kayfabe show, and I talk about whatever the fuck I'm going to. But when it comes down to it, like, dude, believe me, I'm not the one leaking a secret. No one told me this shit. I'm just looking at it going, this is fucking ridiculous. So now I'm saying it, and you're like, dude, don't fucking tell people. And, like, tell people. What do you mean? Like, it was just fucked to me because I was just like, I can't even believe that this fucking kid, and you know, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but yeah, he's young as hell. this kid is so sold on this fucking angle and so sold on what DJ's fucking telling him that he's fucking telling me, like, dude, don't ruin it for us. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Oh, man. Like, I'm the only person that knows. Like, hey, dude, don't fucking tell him. Like, fuck. I feel bad for the dude. I really, really do. Because he does not need to be led by someone like fucking DJ Hyde. And the main event being fucking DJ Hyde and Matt Tremont in the fucking Cage of Death, Tremont's going to fucking die for it. Tremont's going to go over. DJ's going to take a bump or two after fucking two matches of Tremont killing himself in the fucking ring and DJ doing nothing. And then fucking DJ's going to take a few bumps and then he's going to take a few months off and then Tremont's going to be like the big victor. But then what? Then what? Why the fuck does DJ need to be involved in this at all? He doesn't. So anyway, they started the show with Tremont in the crowd and fucking DJ going, no, you're fired, man. Fuck you. You don't need that. Whatever. And then the locker room more or less pipes up like, yeah, we're all going to leave. If you don't hire him back, we're all out of here. And DJ's like, yeah, no, you won't. And fucking then they all leave. And he's like, all right. So here's what it is. I'll hire you back if you win your match, but you have to pick your partner, but you can't pick anyone from CZW or ROH or Evolve or Dragon Gate or any of that. So good luck. Yeah. So this was his way of fucking giving New Jack a hand job because I'm sure he talked him up when he was fucking doing that face-off in the CZW ring with Balls Mahoney. I'm sure there was a point where it was like, hey, DJ, give me a payday, motherfucker. And it was like, I'll work it for you. Yeah, no problem, man. I'll work it for you. Yeah, well, you know, we'll work something out, man. All right, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, some shit like that. Like, there is no reason for, like, well, you can't pick anyone from Dragon Gate, you can't pick anyone from Evolve, you can't pick anyone from Ring of Honor, you can't pick anyone from, like, what is that? Like, what does that even mean? So you could just go get fucking CM Punk and shit? Like, I mean, what do you mean? Like, I don't understand. Well, Ryback didn't work there. Okay, then, well, here we go. Like, no, like, dude, you tailor-made it so you could fucking book dude. Like, it didn't make sense any other way, and it didn't make sense this way other than your crazy convoluted storyline where it was just like, well, you can't pick anybody but everybody that matters on the indies. Oh, fucking... Oh, Natural Born Killers is hitting. Guess who it is? Like, oh, Jesus Christ. So, whatever. Fucking, then they go, wait, you have to beat Joe Gacy and Ron Mathis. So, wait a minute. Wasn't Ron Mathis tagged up with fucking Rory Mondo, like, fucking September? Wait a minute. So, he was a face, and now he's, like, super heel with Joe Gacy. Like, Gacy turned on his partner to go solo, and now he's tagging up with Ron Mathis, who barely anyone in CZW knows, but now he's a heel, but he was a face when he came in with Rory. So maybe I'm missing something that connected in between where this actually makes sense, but it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's a clusterfuck. What it comes down to is DJ is putting himself and Joe Gacy over as the top heels in CZW, and that's the most retarded fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry because I'm wrong. I'm sorry because, like, you're going to be offended if you hear this type of shit, if you're in charge of booking this, but it's fucking stupid. And it's the reason why you won't get me. Well, it's not just the reason. It's one of the reasons why you won't get fucking people like me. You had fucking 300. Three fucking hundred people for Night of Infamy. Well, that's really infamous because it's not an iPay-per-view, and you had 300 people in the fucking building. Wow, that's infamous. Jesus fucking Christ. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. And when you guys do this type of shit, and then you fucking turn around like, oh, everything's fine. Like, everything's fine to who? What the fuck what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, maybe I care too much. I'm going to get on one of these fucking old. maybe I care too much. maybe I actually, like, I try to put too much legitimacy to your company. Maybe you've taken it that far down that I should just not pay attention to shit and be like, who cares about their storylines? They don't matter. But well, shit, maybe they'll put on some good matches. Because as far as I'm concerned, from what I read and the few things I've heard, you might have put on some good matches in this show. Like, I honestly think, from what I've heard, there might be a good amount, you know, a handful of good matches. As far as just match quality, this show might have cut off not quite bad. But to lead into your biggest show of the year, well, that fucking show looks horrible. That show looks fucking horrible as far as making sense, as far as storylines, as far as anything to build towards your biggest fucking show of the year. That show looks fucking horrendous. But again, I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me, and I should just turn off my, like, contingency. I'm going to make sure that I don't pay attention to anything that runs concurrent to other things that have happened in the past. I'm not going to pretend storyline means anything. I'm just going to go, okay, well, are there any good matches? That's what I need to know, because otherwise, I'm all out. Like, dude, believe me, I'm all about good matches, so that's fine. But you're going to tell me that, like, none of it needs to make sense. I mean, you book fucking the Briscoes, okay? This is an iPay-per-view. Cage of Death's an iPay-per-view. You can't use the Briscoes next month on an iPay-per-view. So you put the Chris up against a team that they can't work, nobody else can work on iPay-per-view. Use Davey Richards on the main event. I'm not even sure if he signed with somebody, but chances are he ain't working two CZW shows in a row. They even worked the shit where, like, he got on the mic and was just like, I'm just doing this shit for a payday. I don't even like this fucking company. Like, which I don't even understand the purpose of that other than making you look like shit. And, I mean, for him to come off as a heel on a one shot is ridiculous. Like, you can come off as a heel, but to just be like, yeah, I think your company is shit. Well, bye, guys. And then you never see the guy again. Like, that's kind of shitting on him. That's legitimately shitting on your company. That's not just, well, I'm just being a dick for today. Like, no, I mean, it's just, it's kind of on the way out. Like, okay, give me my check, asshole. I just got in the ring and told you and everybody else that I think your company is shit. But now I'm leaving and probably not coming back. So anyway, you know, I don't understand. Adam Cole, he's under, you know, contract. They had, oh, man, I'll get to that in a second. Fuck it. So then they had Pepper Parks with Cherry Bomb defeat Latin Dragon Dustin Reyes. I'm sure that was a pretty decent match. You know, nice little, you know, starter joint. No problem. Then they had Kimberly beat Greg Excellent. All right. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'd have to see it. Intergender matches need to go a certain way. I mean, they already did the thing with, with Mia Yim and Greg. I mean, if they're just going to jump the shark and have Greg against everyone with talent as a female, they're going to jump the shark and it's just become overplayed and bullshit. Instead of actually running women's matches and getting talented women in there, they're just going to have Greg Excellent fucking work every woman with talent until she gets booked somewhere else that actually books them against woman talent. Like, look at Mia Yim. Like, how many fucking women's matches did she have in fucking CZW? Oh, wait, now she's in Japan. Now she's all fucking signed up. Okay, good. Well, thanks, CZW, you fucking idiots. You know, they put her in there with Greg, and that was great. That was great. That really showed, you know, what she can do and all that, and gave her a good wave goodbye. Well, thanks for being a heel, but we all like you now, so go enjoy yourself, make some money, because clearly, you know, CZW is a stepping stone. I mean, you're not putting yourself out there as an elite company when it comes to that. It comes to that type of attitude. Oh, we have a couple of talented female wrestlers in there, but we don't really like female wrestling, so we're just going to go ahead and put them against a dude and then allow them to be booked for someone else. Like, you know, it doesn't make complete sense. And it's nothing against Greg, because I'm sure Greg, you know, did everything he could to put her over, because that's what he does, man. Like, he makes people look great. I mean, he fucking busted his ass for fucking Mia, and that match series was great. Mia was fucking a beast, and Greg was the shit, you know what I mean? And what can you do? But I don't know if this is just the best booking to just continue to do this with everybody, and just, I don't understand it. He doesn't have, like, an angle where he's like a fucking crazed chick killer or anything, and it's just like he just winds up in these situations, and it's just a little too much. I don't get it. Danny Havoc beat Alex Colon in Ultra Violent Rules match. Now, this is another one of those things I don't understand. Alex is not a deathmatch guy. From what I heard, this was match of the night. Okay, well, the show before Cage of Death. So what do you do next month? Alex is doing another deathmatch? Or, oh, wait, Four Loko versus fucking Nation of Intoxication is going to do a deathmatch? Because that would be weird to me, because I don't think Azrael and Bandido want to do deathmatches. I'm not speaking for them. Maybe they do. I would be surprised, though. And then you got mostly deathmatch guys on the other squad. So, like, I don't see that as some kind of, like, fucking draw. Or, well, not that it's not a draw. I don't see that as something that these guys are going to go all out and fucking murder each other next month. Because you I think, pretty much just blew your load if you just guys stole the show with a Nation of Intoxication versus Four Loko match that involved Ultra Violence the month before Cage of Death. Like, what? You have to turn it up now. You have to get crazier than they just did. I didn't see the match yet, but I heard it was fucking great, and I heard they went all sorts of crazy. You have to get fucking crazier now. Not because I'm a douchebag, because next month is Cage of Death. So Night of Infamy, yeah, whatever, but these feuds need to pop off at Cage of Death. So shit needs to get even more violent, even more crazy, and I don't think you guys have planned this shit out right. I'll watch the shit on iPay-Per-View, and we'll see what's up. But I don't know if that was the best idea, you know? Then you had Azrael and Bandido successfully defend their tag team champions against Blackout and Toby Klein and Human Tornado. From what I heard, it was supposed to be Necro backed out, so it was going to be Tough Crazy Bastards, which would have got over huge, but not brought in more fans because they hot-shotted it. They didn't, like, advertise Tough Crazy Bastards because, well, shit, that would sell tickets. They didn't advertise all their surprises because, well, shit, that would sell tickets. What, you know, why advertise Davey Richards? Because maybe that would sell a ticket or two. But no. Everything's an open challenge. Which open challenges are fine, but if you leave a million holes in your card and then fill them in with guys who people really want to see on the fly, and it's not night pay-per-view, dude, what the fuck? So, they beat them, Azrael and Bandido beat everybody. But when it comes down to it, like, Human Tornado, from what I heard, he's, like, mostly retired. Like, he doesn't want to do this shit no more. From what I heard, what he did in the match was, like, the majority of this match was in street clothes. The Blackout was in street clothes. Those are ducks. Human Tornado was in street clothes, and, like, was, like, they played something which I don't even understand, like, where this goes, unless he's going to be back regularly, and, like, this is something they're going to work. Like, this is some big old welcome back type shit, which him and Toby are, like, the fucking, the biggest awkward team ever. Like, that's, like, the fucking Odd Couple fucking 2012, but, they got him working like he's texting and not giving a shit, not even, like, really caring, and, like, he's texting and Facebooking and just, like, fucking around with his phone, and he just got a hat on, he don't even give a shit, and fucking around, and, like, barely even worked. Like, there were some people who said he didn't even tag in, and I heard different that he actually did tag in, but it was more or less like he didn't. Yeah, I mean, like, he still didn't do shit, and he worked around and shit, and just fucked around. So, again, like, I don't understand, like, bringing someone back that everybody wants to fucking see just to fuck around in a ring and stuff, but is he going to become regular now? We're going to make something out of this? Or is it just some one-shot shit that you did nothing with? And, like, I'm at a loss of words to a lot of this booking because, again, Azrael and Bandido Jr., still tag team champions. The Chris beat the Briscoes. So, in my opinion, okay, it's going to be Azrael and Bandido versus the Chris for the titles. You know what I mean? And the Chris are probably going to win them shit to Cage of Death. But you had this fucking Nation of Intoxication versus Four Loko feud. So which way do you go with that? You ignore the tag titles and you defend them against them again? And again, you got to step it up more hardcore because they just put up the big hardcore match with somebody who doesn't normally do that shit the month before. There's so much about this shit that is just... I just shake my head and just go, what the f-? I'm confused. I'm, like, a little upset. I'm just like, what the fuck? Dude, they don't care. Like, this dude doesn't even give a shit. Like, it's fucking weird. And, all right, so then you got Matt Tremont and New Jack versus Joe Gacy, Ron Mathis. So that's that. Then you got Sammy Callahan put out some shit, you know, via CZW. I'm not going to go ahead and blame Sammy and say, this is all him. And who knows? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I got Andrew. hold on. I just got to type this dude. It boggles my mind. Like, what are they going with? Like, what are they actually trying to do? It just... So, Callahan puts out this thing on CZW's, you know, news site. CZW puts out their shit about Callahan on the news site. He's going to make a huge announcement on the show. And you're only going to be able to see it live and da-da-da-da-da. And there was a lot of rumors that Sammy got signed. So a lot of people thought, well, shit, he's going to announce he's signed and he's going to say goodbye and this and this. So, and like, when you draw people in, it's like, must see announcement. Now imagine, man. So what they did is they did this, and then Sammy gets in the ring and goes, hey, you want my big announcement? Oh, yeah. My announcement is I'm going to finally take a shit in the ring. I'm going to shit in the middle of the ring. And dude, I'm a Sammy fan. I'm a fan of some old Swerve heel shit, but you do not try to draw fans in through, you know, whatever, like big announcement. And then when they fucking drive whatever amount of miles or however much money that cost them to get there, you go, yeah, actually I lied. Go fuck yourself. You're big in, like, Boy That Cried Wolf. Like, your next big announcement, people are going to go, oh, yeah, what is he going to tell me? He's going to jerk off in my fucking face? Like, who the fuck cares? You know what I mean? No one gives a shit. You're going to actually tell me big announcement. And, like, maybe dudes are like, yo, I'm a huge Sammy fan, man. What if I go there and Sammy's like, yo, this is the last time you're going to see me. Fucking, I'm headed out for fucking, Florida fucking next week. And, you know what I mean? Like, thank you, everybody, and this and that. And dudes is like, y'all want to go out for that? And then you show up, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to shit in the ring. It's like, man, fuck you. And like, again, I'm not holding it against Sammy or anything like that, but I just think it's a poor choice as a fucking decision to put that out there, a big announcement, this and that. Speaking of big announcements, I heard Generico got signed. Yeah. I'm still hearing that Sammy's like right around the corner from getting signed. So they might be teasing this announcement, but the shit in the ring thing is retarded. And then, so it comes off of that to Adam Cole comes out. Again, contract dude. They don't even work a match. They brawl around and the security separates them and shit. So I don't think Adam Cole could work Sammy next month. So what are we doing? Like, you can't even, like, pop this off next month. That was, like, some old bullshit scramble, and then what? Like, I don't understand what the gain is from a bunch of shit that can't benefit you next month at the biggest show of the year. It's obviously not going to come off as biggest show of the year, or definitely not built to be biggest show. Again, you could put on a whole card of good matches, but nothing is built up to it. You have DJ and fucking Tremont in the cage, and you have Shane Strickland and Rich Swann, which Rich Swann shit started when he came back from Japan a couple months ago. So it's not like anything built for a year. DJ and Tremont, DJ and fucking anybody, nobody gives a fuck. And Tremont's a fucking animal, but nobody gives a fuck about DJ in the ring. So you're the big draw? No, you're fucking really not, dude. 300 people came to your fucking show when your face was on the thing for Night of Infamy. That's how infamous your shit is. 300 deep, dude. I do that shit. Get the fuck out of here, dude. That's ridiculous. AR Fox defended the CZW Wire TV Championship against Lucky, Shane Strickland, and Rich Swann in the four-way and shit. So that was probably good. I mean, there's a lot of talent in there and everything. This is the part that I don't like about the Wire title and the Junior titles on Fox, because now, like, the Junior title didn't mean shit on Night of Infamy. So now, well, maybe the Junior title will mean shit on Cage of Death, but then the Wire title won't mean shit. So, like, CZW has a fantastic way of devaluing their championships, and I just it just hits a nerve with me. I really think that title should be respected and treated like something, because otherwise why the fuck should the fans care about your fucking titles that you made up? So, you know, you got to bring legitimacy to your own shit because you're the one that created it. You know, I know it's weird. I know it's awkward for me to ask you to make sense of what you fucking gave me. So, what can you do? So then, Jake and Dave Crisp beat Ohio's for Killers versus the Briscoe. Dave and Jake Crisp of Ohio's for Killers beat the Briscoe brothers with Uncle Jethro. From what I heard, like, cause this is like fucking fantastic match on paper shit, that it was okay. It could have been a million times better. And I haven't seen it to even say that, but that's just kind of like the reviews that I've got, that it was good, but you know, it was all right type thing. Which to me, that's a crazy statement, because like, I mean, this is, like I said, on paper, that's fucking awesome shit. The Briscoes are one of, if not the best tag team in fucking wrestling right now. Like all of wrestling, fucking big leagues, all of that shit, straight up. Because who the fucking big leagues is a great fucking tag team right now that's just dominating. They don't know what the fuck to do there neither. The Briscoe brothers are a fucking, they've been the shit for years. And Jake and Dave are fucking great. Fucking just super fast, able to work a lot of different styles, really crisp. The crisps are crisp. You know, they do good stuff. So I can imagine this match would be good. I think they worked each other before, but first time in CZW, and I'd like to see it. I hope they get to work each other again if this wasn't as good as I expected to be. So anyway, then Masada defended the world title and beat Davey Richards in the main event. This is a weird thing, man. When I first started hearing shit about the show, it wasn't even mentioned that Davey Richards was there. It was like probably like five people in who were just talking about the show before I was like, so what happened? And then they finally gave me results and it was just like, Davey Richards worked Masada? Like, why isn't anyone going, hey, this is fucking great. This is crazy. That was stiff. Fucking nothing. I didn't hear shit out of it. It was just like, oh, that was fucking. And I heard the one dude who was putting it over was like, there's a lot of submissions and it was good, but da, 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 da. Then I heard from a couple other people too, it was really stiff. So I'm like, I don't really know what to buy off of that main event. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, they surely didn't make money off of it because they didn't advertise it, you know, just strictly open challenge, and the majority of the card looked hit or miss. And then they just fucking phoned it in for the most part. I don't get it. And, again, I still can't wait to watch the show to actually give my opinions on what the matches came off like. But either way, the builds and storyline wise, it's completely fucking ball dropped. Completely ball dropped. The show before your biggest show, ball fucking dropped, fumbled, fucking recovered by the other team, fucking 6 points. Like, seriously, like, y'all fucking up on that type of shit. You have no fucking attention to your own product as far as month to month, what makes sense, what's going to make you look like a credible fucking company that has a whole fucking storyline going, that has not only a storyline going, a bunch of storylines with a bunch of dudes and attention to detail, and it looks like a professional company. Not because you make a couple rules and go, we're going to handle this like professionals, because you motherfuckers have a bunch of shit going where you're like, wow, they look like they have a plan. If all the fans got to go, fucking, I don't even know what the fuck they're doing here on like fucking 3-4 storylines, then that's a bad go. That's a bad go. And supposedly, rumor has it, there's going to be an open challenge for Cage of Death, and it's going to be Kevin Steen. And I'm predicting that's going to be a horrible fucking match, because Kevin Steen works well with guys who can move fast and high fly, and he could just catch them, and they could do like parkour off of his huge fucking ungymmed body. And Masada's not that guy. Masada can work. He can fucking work. I'm not saying he can't work, but I'm saying like cruiserweights that can do like fucking use that dude like the what do they call that shit, like the pommel horse. and do a bunch of like fucking crazy leg joints and like spin around them five times and then fucking Sting could throw them up in the air and catch them and powerbomb them. And they could go, oh my God, Sting's great. And like, yeah, all that shit was him. But, you know, he could drool and fucking wipe his fat beard or, you know, whatever goes on. But against Masada, I mean, the only thing he could be is stiff, and I don't think fucking Sting can't work fucking 2 days as far as a stiff battle against fucking Masada. Only as far as, like, kayfabe bullshit. It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, he's just as bad as Masada. Like, no, he'll be in Masada's neck shoot as the guy who he wants to punch in the fucking mouth. Like, it's not going to be that great. It's not. Like, he's another one of those guys that they could put on high pay-per-view because he's not legitimately signed to anybody, as far as I know. But so what? I don't give a fuck. But it's whatever, man. It's just these guys have to figure out what they're going to do. They need to put up some kind of product that's consistent and people know what to look forward to or have something to look forward to, because you expect people to make plans to take time out of their fucking day, life, week, fucking month, whatever, to come and enjoy your shit. And you're just like, fucking come see it just because I'm fucking DJ and I'm the best heel in the business. And like, dude, I don't think you understand that, like, you're putting yourself out there as a heel and an owner of the company just makes you look like an asshole owner that people are like, I don't want to give you fucking money. You're a fucking asshole. Oh, you're the best heel in the business? Fuck you, dude. Like, oh, well, we have this book next month and you fucking assholes better come out. Like, go fuck yourself. Don't tell me shit. You know what I mean? And then when I see results and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, I made a good choice there. It's just, there's a lot of things that need to happen. And it's not just, you know, well, holding grudges the way someone talks or anything like that. But, I mean, you consistently look at these cards and you look at the way that things go down. You look at reactions of people who were there and people who watch it. You know, such even myself, as far as I watch it on DVD and shit, man. Or iPay-per-view or something. You see. And, I mean, if all of that comes out negative and you guys just go, well, still, other people might have liked it. Like, nah, you're not even trying to fucking pay attention. So I'm just like, fuck it then. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be. Like I said, I'm looking forward to having DJ on within the next 2 weeks. I'd say probably not this coming week. I'm going to try to have him on the next week. So it's like, you know, the week before Cage of Death type thing, some shit like that, or maybe that's even the week before, I don't know, but there's got to be more booked than like, oh, well, we have these two matches, what do you want to say about those? Like, dude, fucking build something. Jesus Christ, we're 3 weeks out and you have two matches fucking lined up for your biggest show of the year. And it fucking boggles my mind. Anyway, I think I'm going to wrap it up. Yeah, I did an hour and a half. I know I wanted to do more, but listen, man, I think it was a pretty solid hour and a half. I enjoyed it. Hope all you did too. I figured, hey, man, I think I put in like an hour and a half, you know, of my technical difficulties. Well, before my technical difficulties on Wednesday. I put in an hour and a half today. You put it together. I did 3 hours this week for you guys. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed. I hope everybody downloads it, listens to the shit. Definitely check out all my dudes out there. Wrestling Soup, they did a great show Thursday. And, they did a very, very comical show. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Shout out to Mish. Shout out to Joey Numbers. Mish actually finally made me a commercial that I could send around to the other shows, such as Stern Nation, such as Women Love Wrestling, The Sports Den, Yolanda over there at the Shiznit, everybody else that supports. I mean, it's much love. I enjoy that you enjoy me type shit. Know what I mean? So, check me out on Wednesday. I'll be back on my bullshit and, yeah, hit me up anytime. You know what it is. I guess I'll call it that. All right? Peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.